Good evening and welcome. If there was a moment of dead air there, we think Dick Cheney came by and pulled the plug, but T went out there and tackled Dick, and so we've got it back plugged in, and we're cool, and we're on.
We've got him back in an undisclosed location.
Yeah, we do. Right, and we're going to keep him undisclosed. Let me tell you, this is Terry D. Kester. This is Dialogue. This is the Raucous Caucus with
Garland Nixon
and Mark Levine.
Welcome, gentlemen. Good to see you as always. And the first order of business tonight is to speak to and to thank Nisam Ali. Nisam, you on the line there? Hello, Nisam. Have we got him on the phone line? Hello. Well, we're thanking him anyway, whether we got him on the phone line or not.
Why don't we introduce our topic while we wait for him?
Well, let me just see if he's there. I don't want to be cutting him off. He's the current manager, runner of Ben's Chili Bowl.
Yes, co-owner, operator.
Co-owner, operator, and everything else. And we just want to make sure, hopefully we're going to get him in a moment, because we just want to give him a big thanks and a big shout-out, because as you know, during the pledge drive, we offered as a gift in cooperation with Ben's Chili Bowl to join us for lunch.
I hear a beep. Maybe it's him.
Is that you? Is that Nissan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, oh, great. Good. Okay, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. How are you all?
We're great. This is Terry Kester, and we got Garland here,
and
we
Mark.
Got Mark here. And we just want to thank you, first off, so much for helping out WPFW and helping us out on our show and providing us also with a great lunch at Ben's.
Two lunches, actually.
Two lunches.
Yes.
Two lunches,
all the people that called in and pledged during our show.
Yeah. And, we just hope we can just keep on coming back, because, one, we love your food.
But not a problem. You guys are, WPFW has always been in the Ben's Chili Bowl family for so long, so we appreciate you all.
Well, it's mutual, believe me, and we're very, very grateful for all that you've done for us in the past and just what you did for us just in the last few weeks. And all the people that joined us had a wonderful time. If they hadn't been Ben's Chili Bowl customers, they are now, I assure you.
Right.
Yeah. And thanks very much. And even all your listeners, I mean, you guys have been so supportive of us over the 51 years, so... to all the listeners out there and to you guys, thank you all so very much.
Yeah, and I can still taste some of that chili. I think it was a couple weeks ago, but I can still taste it. You know, it's with me forever. All right. Well, if anything we can do for you, you let us know, because we sure appreciate what you have done for us as well.
Sure will.
And
no problem.
We certainly look forward to working with you in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Absolutely. All the best to you guys in the show.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much. We do appreciate it. Okay, well, that was a pleasure. And again, hopefully we can arrange something like that again, because it really was fun, not only meeting some of our listeners out there, but, you know, just the
atmosphere. Maybe we could do a live show there. Wouldn't that be great?
Have patrons of
Ben's Chili Bowl actually speak on the air from in between smacking their chili. You know?
The Raucous Caucus and the live show, man, that's going to be bad news.
We have things in progress. You know, no, we're not sure. We may have to use the Verizon Center. We may use, Ben's Chili Bowl. But, maybe we'll be out in the street. I don't know, but... we're working on it. We're working on it, because we'd love to do a show with you guys right there. I mean, with the listeners right there.
Everybody that would be great.
That would really be a ball. So we're working on it.
So you could tell us off to our face, which we appreciate.
Yeah, right. Yeah, help us gain perspective. Well, we're going to need a lot of perspective tonight, because we're going to talk about, guess what, 8 o'clock. Is when it happens.
Well, Terry, as I was mentioning, here a couple weeks ago, we had the execution that was scheduled
Garland,
at 9.
This is true. Now, Garland has discovered something here. This is very important. Listeners, pay attention.
Yeah, the execution was scheduled at 9 on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. The president has scheduled his announcement for 8 today. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to get the feeling that the entire country...
They're set up for us to introduce.
Everybody is setting their schedule based on the...
Well, that's because they have to hear us first, and then they can act.
Yeah, so
they have to know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, I understand. Well, President Obama has taken a long time to figure out what to do, and he needs our input before he can make his final decision.
I guarantee you right now, the entire inner circle, they're hunched around an FM radio, and they're listening, they're taking notes.
I have no doubt.
The Joint Chiefs of Staff.
And this has grown so well, and Garland, you're absolutely right, that we're asking now that all senators, congresspeople, well-known authors, et cetera, make sure check with each other or check with us, so we don't get conflicting events going on at the same time.
Not
on
a problem.
Tuesday night,
we shuttle launches, things
yeah,
of that
whatever.
Nature.
We want to accommodate you. We really do. But
there may be some people under a rock, Terry, that do not know what's happening at 8 o'clock tonight. Why don't you inform them? There may be people who don't know, right? Would you like me to tell them? If you're staring at me, I'll tell them if you don't want to.
I mean, I know there's some people out there that are truly uninformed.
We all know.
You know, you've scared the hell out of me.
The Ruckus Club just goes off the air at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, well, and as soon as we go off, President Obama goes on television
to announce his Vietnam.
Oh, wow, that was a Freudian slip.
To announce his Afghanistan policy and the increase in troops. And let me begin, gentlemen, with an opening statement about that, and then we'll just get into the discussion, and we'll get listeners in a little bit here to join us as well. But these are some of my thoughts that I had about when I was thinking about this situation. I've been thinking about it. Also, I want to mention, even as I get into this, if you haven't seen, there's a superb column written by Colbert L. King in Saturday's Washington Post entitled Get Real on Afghanistan. It's really worth reading. It gives you a superb perspective. And my comments, I'm sort of inspired by hers, by him as well. Anyway, taking us back in history, when the North and the South went to war against each other, both sides tried to, back in our Civil War, they tried to elicit international involvement on their particular side, both sides courting the empire of the day, England. England had the wisdom to not get involved in our Civil War. When LBJ in Vietnam unexpectedly acquired the presidency, he inherited a god-awful Civil War in Vietnam. Even while he tried to push through the last grand social agenda America has seen, Johnson miraculously achieved much of his social agenda. But against his own will, against his knowledge, and against the advice of many top advisors and senators, he tragically immersed us in a bankrupting military adventure that proved to be without valid cause. His presidency disintegrated, the nation divided further, and we were left with then Richard Nixon due to that tragedy. President Obama tonight seems to be following LBJ's footsteps and may lead us into the same dissension, politicization, more extreme polarization, and eventual national disaster from which we have yet to heal. I fear that tonight he will use the same props, wrap himself in the same flag, honor the same platitudes, use the same terms and unrealistic goals, predict the same outcomes. The mere fact that he is staging this escalation announcement at West Point is an intellectual and moral embarrassment. And I fear that just as LBJ, he has allowed himself to be trapped within the bondage of the military-industrial complex. Just like LBJ, he ignores the reality of civil war or wars in both Afghanistan and Pakistan. Just like LBJ, he paints the enemy in broad strokes that only obscure the history, the culture, and the realities of the region. As much as the Taliban disgust me, I doubt they are our enemy. As much as I dread Al-Qaeda, I understand that their horrible actions are actually strategic and political. And to sustain the misinformation that they are nothing but inhuman terrorists will not only mislead the American public, it'll mislead our strategy, our defense, and our safety. Do I have the answers? No. Is the situation winnable? I doubt it. But I do know that at the moment we are once again using might and militarism to treat a cancer that has far deeper causes and needs. And I do know this, every empire in history has in time bankrupted itself trying to protect its perceived and real interest. That's where we seem to be today. Garland, jump
in. All right. You know, I'm going to take a little different perspective. Now, don't get me wrong. I am an anti-war person, you know, I'm against military conflict and I'm a pro-peace person and all that, but just from the perspective of being consistent, okay? Because some of the things I've heard today, this is not the change I voted for, this is not what I thought, this is not what before anyone calls in and says, this is not the change I voted for, this is not what I voted for, this is not what I expected, I'm going to remind you of something. The first presidential debate, Barack Obama, John McCain, September 26, 2008, and I'm going to read from you, from the text, okay? This is Jim Lehrer. Afghanistan, lead, a new lead question. Now, having resolved Iraq, we'll move to Afghanistan. There's left, of course. There.
I'm sorry.
I don't remember Jim Lehrer resolving Iraq, right. But I want to thank him for that.
They resolved Iraq.
He's a very talented man. Okay. I guess he solved the whole thing. Go ahead.
They resolved it at that first presidential debate.
Apparently, I just didn't remember that happening. So, it must have slipped my mind.
Now, listen to this. For everyone who says, this is not what I voted for, I had no idea this was coming. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe he's doing that. Jim Lehrer. And it goes to you, Senator Obama, and it's a... It picks up on a point that's already been made. Do you think more U.S. troops should be sent to Afghanistan? How many and when? Obama. Now remember, when is this? September 26, 2008 at the first presidential debate. Obama. Yes, I think we need more troops. I've been saying that for over a year now, and I think that we have to do it as quickly as possible because it's been acknowledged by the commanders on the ground that the situation is getting worse, not better. And he goes on to say we cannot separate Afghanistan from Iraq because that's what our commanders, blah, blah, blah. He says, so I would send 2 to 3 additional brigades to Afghanistan. Michael Moore's writing him a letter saying, I can't believe you're doing this. What part of... more troops. What part of, yes, I think we need more troops is
confusing? How big is a brigade?
I don't know.
But whatever it's not 34,000 troops, I guarantee you that.
But the point I'm making is this. He said we need more troops. At the time, Iraq was so unpopular that everyone said, okay, you know what? When he said, let's get him out of Iraq and move him to Afghanistan, everybody said, well, yeah, that's what we ought to do. Hooray, all right. Well, now some of the same people who listened to that and didn't have a problem with it and didn't freak out and say, I'm not going to support him. I'm going to support John McCain because he certainly wouldn't send more troops.
Well, first of all, Mark,
we haven't gotten the troops out of Iraq yet. But go ahead,
Mark.
We are getting the troops out of Iraq.
Yeah, one a day.
No. But in fact, in order to get them into Afghanistan, we'll have to take them from Iraq.
Yeah. So far, we've taken out about 6.
As someone who, from the outset, I should be very clear. I supported the war in Afghanistan. I was against the war in Iraq, but I supported the war in Afghanistan because we were attacked, and I believe in self-defense. And I'm glad that we removed the Taliban government. I'm glad that we took on al-Qaeda there. I wish that Bush had listened to his people on the ground and brought in the 800 troops that Gary Bernstein of the CIA asked and taken out bin Laden at Tora Bora. We're just finding it out now from a Senate report that Bush completely lied about it. No, I guess real
no,
surprise.
Yeah, yeah, big surprise.
But when he said that he didn't know bin Laden was at Tora Bora and so forth.
So
to be clear, I did support the Afghanistan war from the beginning. I do not want to leave all troops, but I am concerned about President Obama's strategy. To me, the question is not, should we fight the war in Afghanistan? That may be Terry's question. That's not mine. My question is, how do we fight the war in Afghanistan? And specifically, how do we defeat the people that killed 3,000 Americans? Now, Terry's right. That's al-Qaeda.
It's not the Taliban.
And it should also be clear that National Security Advisor Jim Jones said just a few months ago that there may be 100 al-Qaeda members in Afghanistan. 100? Lots of Taliban. Not that much al-Qaeda. There's at least 30 times that in Pakistan. I'd like to look back in history because I would look at our successes and our lack of successes. To me, Vietnam was not a success. No surprise there. But we have had successes. Indeed, in the Cold War, we had a success. And to me, the difference Soviet Union imploded, and people in Eastern Europe live freely now where they didn't live in the past.
By active war?
By containment. And that's what I'm trying to get into.
Okay.
To me, there are ways to fight wars, and not all of them involve active military forces. George
Big
Kennan
difference.
Was right. Yeah. We did contain the Soviet Union. We did manage to keep them from expanding their power. And in doing so, eventually they imploded. I do not want to end the war. I do not want to let al-Qaeda have free reign. I am more than willing to bomb training camps. And frankly, I think Pakistan needs a lot of our help. They are a fledgling democracy. They're very important. They have nuclear weapons.
Right, right.
They have hundreds of millions of people. If Pakistan goes, you think Afghanistan's bad?
That's where the problem
is. We're in huge trouble if Pakistan becomes our enemy. Because
nothing to do with al-Qaeda. Because al-Qaeda today is in Somalia.
Al-Qaeda is everywhere.
Al-Qaeda is in Yemen. Al-Qaeda is probably in New York City and Washington.
Al-Qaeda is an idea as much as it is a movement or individuals.
Yes, it is.
A few individuals.
And so why are we in Taliban? Taliban? Or why are we fighting a civil war in Afghanistan and joining a civil war there when Al-Qaeda is not even part of
you know,
that?
You know, I don't know that I would call it a civil war, Terry.
Ask the Pushtuns what they think.
Well, no. What I think Afghanistan is really a lot of the way that the tribal world was throughout the entire planet 4,000 years ago. It's not... When I think of a civil war, I think of this side versus that side, right? North versus south.
There is
in
very
Afghanistan,
much a
there's not two sides. There's 6, 12, 15, 30 sides.
But there are two main groups.
But basically, as I see the situation in Afghanistan, it's basically local people, local warlords, wanting control over their local fiefdom and their local domain. And I haven't heard the president yet. None of us have. We're all going to hear him in 45 minutes or so. But it seems to me that if we fight this war correctly, we can win it, not win it like, Afghanistan becomes just like New Jersey, but if we win it in a containment manner. In other words, I say let federalism rule.
How do you contain? Let the warlords,
How do you
contain an idea?
You can't contain an idea. But
is Al-Qaeda the enemy or is the Taliban the enemy? Is Afghanistan the enemy?
Afghanistan is not the enemy.
Okay. So why do we have to impose this solution on Afghanistan?
Well, we have to make sure that the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda do not reconstitute themselves in ways that can harm the United States. Note, I didn't say they can't harm their own people. We can't protect every individual on this planet. I wish we could, but we don't have the power to do that.
How is that going to happen since Al-Qaeda is not limited in any sense whatsoever to Afghanistan?
Well, they're not.
Or Pakistan.
They're not. I think what we do is we basically let people live. Okay, so if you have a warlord and they controlled a certain area of Afghanistan and they're corrupt because they're all corrupt, the Karzai's corrupt, but they're not actively fomenting attacks on the United States or our allies, we let them be.
Right, kind of.
Okay, we divide and conquer, if you will. Let's only fight the people who are truly out to get us, and the others. Let them be, and that means, and let me be clear, because some of this is really anti-liberal. That means that in some areas where they mistreat women, I'm sorry to say it, I hate to see it, and I do believe in stopping genocide anywhere it occurs, but where it's not genocide, where it's repressing women, as awful as that is, I'm actually willing to let some of that go as long as they're not actively planning terrorist attacks against the United States.
But we're still at that point, and Garland, I want you to go ahead, but I still don't understand, what Al-Qaeda has to do with this, because Al-Qaeda is, as we've pointed out very clearly, it is not located in just Pakistan. It is not located within the Taliban, and it is not located within Afghanistan. Yes, I'd love to see a stable Afghanistan. Yes, I would love to see a non-Taliban Afghanistan, but I don't know what that has to do with Al-Qaeda, which that is our enemy.
Now,
Garland.
Yeah, I was about to say the other thing, and I think I go kind of go along with what Mark's saying, and that is, as stable as possible, kind of a loose
confederacy.
We can't
get perfection.
That's all you're really going to get. A lot of people don't realize that's all Saddam had was a loose confederacy. He paid off a lot of the warlords.
Iraq was always a stronger central government than Afghanistan.
I'm saying he's still in Fallujah. He paid off a lot of local warlords.
What do you think we did in Iraq?
Right. That's the way it's done in a lot of places in the Middle East. So we are kind of a loose confederacy, as stable as possible, that doesn't present an active threat to us. And I go along with Mark, and I think there's going to be some things you're not going to like. I do think this, and this is one thing we have to look at, and that is, if you've been paying attention to this process, one of the things that was said, I've read several times, was that within this, the whole argument conversation, one of the things the president kept saying to the generals and to the minds that were working on this was, I want an exit strategy. So the question here is, And let's face it, I don't think we're a lot smarter. I don't consider myself smarter than Barack Obama. If he can figure this out, I think maybe he can.
Then he might deserve the Nobel Peace Prize.
Right, yeah, you're right about that. But I think that if you're looking at an exit strategy, then it's moving in the direction that Mark is saying. I think it's moving in the direction of saying, let's get this thing as stable as we can expect to get it and get out of here.
And be willing to come back if we have to.
How does that end the threat to the United States?
You're never going to end the threat.
No. Right. But why are we focused there?
Because you can mitigate the threat. You can make the threat less powerful. And here's the problem,
Terry. No, you're missing. I really think we're missing a point here. And the first point is, one, we've got to get international cooperation. Well,
of course.
And we haven't
we
got
do.
That.
We do. NATO's in Afghanistan. This isn't Iraq.
Oh, come on.
This isn't a real... This isn't
a figment. They're no more involved in Afghanistan than they were in Iraq.
Yes, they are. Much more.
Oh, come on. There's only 1,000 troops from Australia. There's only 3,000 or 4,000 from England. There's a few couple thousand from Canada, which are being withdrawn.
Well, they were a large percentage. We had a very small force there as we increased our forces.
Very small, yeah.
I fully expect...
NATO's already made it clear. The other countries made it clear. They're not... England will probably go in a bit more.
We'll see.
Australia is going to go in for 1,500. France may go in for a few more.
I fully expect President Obama
but
to go
is,
around
but
and
that
to get
is
support.
Not, that is not international support. To have five or six
countries participate.
It hasn't
happened yet, Terry. I fully expect President Obama to go around.
It's been 8 years that we've been in that war.
And in that time.
8 years.
And in that time.
8 years we've been bombing the hell out of mountains and caves. And as far as we know, we may have contained Al-Qaeda. No, we haven't contained Al-Qaeda. We know that. We know they're in Somalia. We know they're in Yemen. We know there are cells in London. There's probably cells in the United States. We haven't contained them.
Terry.
How does this help against Al-Qaeda,
Terry,
who is supposedly the enemy?
There's two aspects to Al-Qaeda. One, you're absolutely right, is an idea. It's the idea of radical Islam. It's the idea of Islamic domination of the world. That's an idea. We're never going to contain that
That's
idea.
Right.
But another thing is materials, forces, training camps, you know, weapon systems. There's all kinds of things. You're right. It's all over the world
camps.
Now.
Yeah.
But right now, the most severe is in Pakistan, in the region next to Afghanistan.
Okay, let's accept that.
So what's the question here, though? What is the question?
The question is, what do you do about Al-Qaeda? Now, somehow or other...
You show the people that they have a better life without Al-Qaeda.
The Afghanistan people do not give a hoot one way or the other about Al-Qaeda, because Al-Qaeda is not a threat to them.
And that's a little strong. I mean,
Al-Qaeda is not shooting and bombing, you know, Afghanis.
Well, no, but they work with the Taliban to put burqas on women. A lot of Afghani women don't like that.
I think we're really missing the point because all we're saying here is we're going to use great military force. Yes, we're going to do, you know, pacification and training and all that stuff. The same thing we said in Vietnam, the same thing we said in Iraq, you know. But we're not dealing with the fundamental issues and the fundamental problem. We're putting billions of dollars, $1 billion for every 1,000 troops, billions of dollars. We're going to outspend the health care plan probably by the time we get done with this.
And I want to talk about that specifically in a minute.
And we're not dealing with the real problem, which is Al-Qaeda, which is the idea.
You don't have any answer.
No, I don't.
So your answer basically is do anything.
No, my answer is the question, how do we deal with Al-Qaeda? Why aren't we putting billions of dollars in figuring out how to deal with them, how to defuse?
What's your suggestion,
how do we
Terry?
Defuse that?
Because President Obama could use it. He has a very difficult decision to make. What's your suggestion?
I'll tell you, at the moment, I'm not sure there is a solution.
That's what I thought you were saying.
maybe we have to live with that.
Look, there's no perfect solution.
There isn't.
But there are of evils. Here's where I think
you
we agree.
If you understand, and I think you do, that what Al-Qaeda is doing with its terrorism is, you know, as much as we deplore it, it's a strategic and political policy.
That's true.
And it is not just a hunch of bad guys hanging around. They may be our bad guys to us, but they're not bad guys to themselves. You know, they have a strategic political policy. This is how you fight an empire. This is how you do it.
I don't think it's about empire. I think it's about spreading radical Islam.
It's complicated. But let me say this. I think that all of this being said, I believe this. Everyone in here wants the troops to come home. Well, we all would like to see this resolved in a way that's in the best interest of the United States and all of us, and the troops come home and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I believe that within this plan, that a significant part of the plan is how to get out. I don't believe, from what I've heard and read, I do not believe that President Obama is saying, okay, you know, give me 500,000 more and we can defeat the NVA. I think what's going on here is he's saying to his generals, look, what's the plan? Let's find a way out, and I believe that we're going to hear a plan today that is part of an
realistically, that's a different issue, but realistically, as there ever – I mean, this whole idea of an exit strategy is a media-created thing and a politically created thing.
Here's the thing.
Militarily, how can you possibly plan an exit strategy when you don't know what the enemy is going to do?
Here's what I think.
It's impossible. It's just political nonsense.
Here's what I think the three of us agree on, and then I want to get to our callers at 202-588-0893.
We got 5 minutes.
202-588-0893. Here's what I think the three of us agree on. At the end of the day, the way we win, the only way we win, and I put win in quotes because I recognize we can't ever fully win, is to win over the people of that region. That's why we lost in Vietnam. That's indeed why we won the Cold War. That's, you know, at the end of the day.
You're simplified. You're simplifying.
Of course
greatly.
I'm simplifying, but at the end of the day, it's the politics. It's the
fact that
Karzai is corrupt. It's the fact that the warlords don't support the individuals. It's the fact that there's incredible poverty and 80% illiteracy, and women are mistreated, and they're, you know, the Afghanistan has very bad infrastructure, and their economy's run on opium. At the end of the day, it's all these political matters that will determine whether or not the people turn to radical solutions like Al-Qaeda or turn to not the most perfect government in the world, but a government
and
that's
also,
relatively
okay.
The question is not, it seems to me, how to, you know, the troops. We'll talk about cost. I want to get there. But the best way to win politically, and President Obama's argument is going to be, and you may well disagree with it, Terry, but his argument is not going to be we're going to bomb the heck out of them and win. His argument is going to be that through the use of troops, we can win this political strategy. And I know you disagree with him, and frankly, I fear I disagree with him, but at least we should understand that is his goal.
And you got to do something. I mean, we all agree there is where no answer.
Where the biggest threat, according to a lot of experts, which isn't even talked about, is frankly cyber warfare. This is perhaps the,
all of the
to
world.
United States and the world. It is the biggest threat we face today.
Sure,
and that's where our resources. A lot of our, you know. We have to understand we do have finite resources. That's where, if Al Qaeda has any brains at all, and obviously they do. That's where the attacks are probably
going to come. All Al-Qaeda members, turn off your radio now.
Yeah, so you don't get the...
turn off your radio now.
Just
so
in case you never thought of this.
You can turn it back on in 5 minutes. I don't want Terry to give you any advice.
Yeah, just in case.
Okay, are you gone? Are they gone now? Okay, go ahead, Terry. Go ahead, Terry. I just want to make sure the radio's off. But before you continue...
just in case they hadn't thought of it.
Well, we already know that a significant percentage of our listeners would be
don't even go there, Garland.
That would be Terry's followers.
Yeah, that's Terry's listeners. That's not my listeners.
The point is, you know, where do you put your resources? Why? What is 34,000 troops going to accomplish in a country like Afghanistan? I mean, I don't want to really abandon the people, but the Afghan people. I really honestly don't. I know some Afghanis personally, and you know the tragedy that they have gone through over the decades.
But
is
you know
phenomenal.
What? They used to have centralized government.
Yes,
they had a king from the
1930s
to the 1970s. That's 40 years of relative stability for a country we say can't have stability. I would like to see, and I want to hear from President Obama, how he's going to get a government that the people respect. It could be a kingdom. It doesn't even have to be a presidency. Frankly, I've lost all confidence in Karzai. But to have
some kind of government that is respected by the people, if you start out supporting Karzai, how do you possibly do that?
Well, look,
I mean, from the very beginning,
when Karzai first came in, you're saying
to the Afghan people, look, we're going to support the guy and help the guy, quote unquote.
Well, Obama's backing away.
That we know is the corrupt official.
Well, he wasn't corrupt originally. Right? He became corrupt when he got in power.
Am I mistaken? There's got to be somebody that can call and Google this for us and look it up. Am I mistaken? Or was Karzai on the board of directors for one of the big energy companies?
I think that's his brother, isn't it?
It was a Karzai.
I think it's his brother.
Who would imagine that tied to the Bush administration? Yeah. The long and short of it is, let me say this. I think that ultimately what we see here is this. The best deal we can get, and we get out of here by 2012. That's my prediction today.
No, we're not going to be out of there. 2012.
I'll make you a bet on that.
What
do you want to bet, Garland? What, you want to lose $5? You want to lose $10?
I'll bet you a lunch at Ben's Chili Bowl every day.
I'll bet you three lunches at Ben's Chili Bowl.
Here's what. turkey sub and a banana shake.
You're going to same bet. We're not going to be out by 2012, Garland. Let's take a break and let's get to the call
and
shake, buddy.
One of the things I just want to mention. That makes a whole turkey burger sub.
Which you'll get to our listeners too, and I'm sure they're going to respond. This, if nothing else, and this is tragic. I mean, it's not even his fault in some ways. This is going to destroy the Obama presidency.
I don't believe it.
Oh, I don't agree with you.
Well,
But
check history, check LBJ.
This is he's not doing the kind of all-in commitment we did to Vietnam.
I think he's actually hedging according to military-industrial complex needs.
Only 34,000, not 40,000. Terry,
go back and
20%
check.
Less.
Go back and check how Vietnam grew.
50% less.
How slowly Vietnam grew.
I know.
Tragic it was.
It's a concern,
and it's the same situation. We are going to take a break here. We're going to have a PSA. We're going to have a little music.
And then we've got Mark, Marvin, and Salil hanging.
We got callers hanging on already. 202-588-0893. We'll be with you in just a moment. Mark and I, we'll keep on arguing while you guys take a break.
Please tune in Wednesday, December 2nd, beginning at 1 p.m., as WPFW airs Pacifica's broadcast and coverage of the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Foreign Affairs hearing on U.S. strategy in Afghanistan. This national special is produced and hosted by Mitch Jezerich, producer and host of Letters to Washington. Again, this special broadcast will begin at 1 p.m. This is another service made possible by the member supporters of WPFW, your Pacifica station for jazz and justice, serving the collective needs and imagination of the community.
We got power, man. Yeah.
And welcome back to the Raucous Caucus and the Raucous Caucus theme song there. This is Terry D. Kester with
Garland Nixon
and Mark
and
Levine.
Mark Levine. And one of the real reasons, listeners and fans and all, and we appreciate you so much that we've got to get this show live. In front. You got to see the choreography.
I don't know. They might run screaming, Terry.
They saw the way we dance in the studio. Now we got Jasmine dancing. We got T dancing. You know, Garland, Mark.
Let's get our callers dancing. I'm waiting on the line
okay,
there.
Mark, thanks for your patience. Talk to us. Find a solution. Hello, Mark.
Mark, you're on the air.
No, thank you very much. One of the things that you gentlemen never mentioned was the fact that the number of drugs that flow out of that region,
that
country.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, never in the history of civilization has anything that has made so much money ever been stopped.
The clear reason why we're over there is
that certain people want that money coming, and that money is going to come no matter what.
Wow.
And, you know, Obama putting 30,000 troops over there, I mean, based on my experience, that's just another 30,000 targets.
Yep.
Those people have been fighting since the beginning of time, and we are not going to stop that from happening. You want that opium is going to continue to come. That's my comment.
All right, Mark. I think it's actually a good point, and I actually think, if we really as a society, and I know Obama can't do this by himself, but if we really as a society wanted to defuse the situation, the first thing to do would be legalize drugs.
Well,
that would be the first step, you know?
Well, I'm okay with that. I would tax it and regulate it
and use the taxes for whatever.
Depends on which drugs.
I don't know about it. And let me add one thing I said.
Marijuana, sure.
And before, you know, a lot of people have supported the president, go climbing all over him and turning on him. Let's not forget this metaphor. Someone drove a car off a cliff and handed him the wheel.
That's true.
We cannot look at him and say, oh my gosh, he can't drive the car back off the cliff. It was already driven off the cliff, and he was handed the wheel. So we're going to condemn him because some clown screwed everything up for 8 years, destroyed everything, you know, just botched everything he could. We're going to get mad at him.
You can blame a whole lot of things on Bush.
Months.
But you can't I don't think, you know, Al-Qaeda wasn't created by Bush. No. 9/11 wasn't created by Bush.
No, but the terrible Afghan strategy was created by Bush.
But Al-Qaeda is still the problem, and it's not being dealt with. And maybe more imaginative than just falling into the same traps.
Yeah, but if we had invaded Iraq,
and trying to grab that steering wheel is, again, to try something different, starting out with legalizing drugs. Why not? Marvin, talk to us.
Yes.
Hi.
Well, good evening. How y'all doing?
We're okay, Marvin. We're okay.
We're waiting for your solution. We know you got all the answers.
Give us the answers, Marvin.
Okay. I'm going to join the conversation, but I have a problem with a lot of things that y'all are talking about.
Okay. Excellent.
I mean, it seems like that y'all agree with this insidious killing of people with this administration increasing the war in Afghanistan because, quote-unquote, they want to fight Al-Qaeda. But y'all never talking about the devastation of the United States government and the military that caused so much devastation in that country and Iraq, especially in Iraq since 1991. I mean, the insidious killing of people, I mean, it bothers me. Or when I hear y'all sound like a bunch of right-wing talking heads, warmongers, that is agreeing with this administration, but y'all didn't agree with the Bush administration. The same policies and the same warmongers are in this administration as they were in the last previous administration. The insidious killing of people on Israel has to stop.
Look, first of all, let me say this. First to say, I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on the whole Iraq issue. I agree with the whole idea of killing people of war. I'm against it 100%, and I think it's insanity. Insanity that human beings do that and have always done that. I'm not for war. I'm against it. I'm not for the killing. I'm against it. The only thing I'm saying is this. In reality, there is a situation that exists, and I'm not going to pretend that that situation doesn't exist because I'm against something.
Go ahead, Marvin.
The whole terrorism is called to rip the American people off and to militarize, continue to militarize, and spend our tax dollars killing people all around the world.
Marvin, you got no argument with me. I don't know if you heard us or if I didn't make it clear enough in our opening statement, but I mean, I sincerely believe we are creating the same mistakes that we've always created. Thank you very much. This country has been at war constantly since World War II. There's hardly a day or a year or a month that we are not at war. We have a military-industrial complex. We have an economy that thrives on war. And unfortunately, Obama, whether he's pressured or whether the situation seems to require, he is fitting right into that pattern of sustaining the military-industrial complex whose primary purpose is to kill other people.
I want to distinguish between two things. I don't disagree with anything you say, Terry. Obviously, there's a powerful military-industrial complex, and I don't disagree with the idea that we need to fight this smarter. I do want to distinguish, though. I'm not a pacifist. The Al-Qaeda did attack us. They did kill 3,000 Americans. I think we have an absolute right to respond. How to respond, to me,
amen,
that's the question. Is there a smarter way to respond? To respond through containment rather than more troops? I'm all for that. But where I disagree with some of what Marvin had to say is seemingly to suggest that when a country attacks us, we shouldn't respond because we might kill some innocent people. On that issue and that issue alone, I do disagree.
And I'll say this. When it came to the Afghanistan war right off the bat in the beginning, and I have to say, I was not in favor of attacking Afghanistan. I was in favor of spreading some money around and using black ops to find them, because I believe that the way things work in the Middle East, if you'd have used black ops and you'd have went in there with several billion dollars and you'd have paid off warlords and you'd have spread money around, that you'd have come up with Osama bin Laden.
You know, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what happened at Tora Bora, and this has just come out in the Senate report. What came out is we did spread money around. We did pay a lot of money to Northern Alliance.
Let them out.
And they got more money from Al-Qaeda than they let him go. What Gary Bernson of the CIA was asking for at that time was 800 people, not 34,000, 800 of, our most highly trained black ops people to take him out. He was denied at that time by the Bush administration, and that horrible mistake
I don't believe that.
I still think we're missing one big point. I'm going to get to our callers in just a minute because we want to get you, but I think we're missing one big point here. In the past, for the most part, whether it was the Revolutionary War in the United States or whether it's the Irish in Ireland, terrorism has been essentially local. You can call it guerrilla warfare. You can call it whatever you want. It's basically the same strategy. When you're when you have an empire and a system that you cannot – you can't get tanks and take on the Empire of the United States.
Right.
You simply can't do it. You couldn't actually even get a navy during the Revolutionary War and take on the British Navy. It's just not going to work. You know, I mean, there were some
it's
successful
It's the nature of the way things work.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But what we have now is international terrorism. This is not just towards the United States. This is an international struggle.
Right. I agree.
And it has an international tactic and strategy to it.
And in that way, it's actually similar to the Cold War, which was also an international war.
Well, but in a more diffuse way.
Yeah.
Somehow there requires actually more international cooperation.
Well, that's certainly true.
Because
we need
we
a
are
lot
not
more.
Going to be able to stop this by just solve. If we solve everything in Afghanistan, that is Many not going to wipe out Al Qaeda.
That's true. That's true.
If we stop everything in Pakistan,
that's why international cooperation is absolutely essential. You're right about that.
On a big level.
Yeah, the problem is
because it's a different kind of It's a different time we're in. A different history. Let's get some callers in here. Next is
Salil.
Salil. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Salil, join us, please.
Yeah. Your gentleman missed a lot about history. Reaction that you are talking about Taliban and Qaeda and all that is a reaction against capitalist crusades. You all don't remember why Osama reacted against the United States. Because the soldiers were in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is his reason.
Well, it's part of the
and
reason.
And you keep repeating something very, you know, stupid. That Al-Qaeda is an extremist religious. Al-Qaeda is not. The whole 1.2 or 0.3 Muslims around the world, they're all Al-Qaeda. If you read the history of Islam, but corporations and the government of the United States send them a writ every time the corporations have a problem with the country. Read your history from day one.
All right.
The man reacted against, he's always Al-Qaeda doesn't want to attack. Muslims don't want to attack America. It's America attacking the Muslim world, not with guns. It's with prostitution, drugs, junk. It's against their religion. It's against their tradition. It's against their culture. There's if you stay away, you would never have the 9/11.
Well, All right. Let us take that into consideration.
And I certainly think that
Thank you for your call. We appreciate it.
Well, and I wouldn't blame prostitution and all on America.
No, hardly. We
had troops in Saudi Arabia. Just if people don't remember, we had them because they wanted them there because they were afraid after Iraq went into Kuwait. They did ask us to be there. Now, the Saudi government is one of the most oppressive governments in the world.
But you have to go back way before that. You have to go back to World War One. You have to go back to World War
II. Well, yeah, our whole relationship with Saudi Arabia.
Our whole relationship.
Form the
Middle East.
That's true.
Go back and study World War One, you know, the primary issue that was coming to fore at World War One was, again, oil.
It's always been oil.
Well, not always, but once you got all the machinery of war.
Since the 20th century.
Yeah. And, you know, the dividing up and the creation of these artificial boundaries and everything else throughout the Middle East and parts of Asia.
Can we blame the British and the French? Because I think it's their fault for virtually all of this thing.
Well, unfortunately, the Americans were there at the conference
as
well.
I think our last caller had a very strong, valid point.
Well, Wilson had a different
idea.
And that he did
a very strong point in that we cannot refuse to acknowledge that a lot of the policies that we've had over the course of the years have been counterproductive to towards peace in the Middle East. Some of the things that we've done. I mean, let's face it, we're facing the Frankenstein theory right now with Osama bin Laden. We created the monster Frankenstein, and when you create a monster, it's going to come back and you're going to have to face it one day. So we
arm him in fighting the Soviet Union, but I want to be clear that in no way does that justify September 11th.
We also have to realize that our culture is in many ways in its excesses offensive to a large number of people.
So turn off the TV. I hate that argument. Culture in there. We can't handle it. Off your TV. You don't like our culture.
Now, wait a minute. You're just
Go to the movies.
You're getting all upset because they require burqas on women. So you don't like their culture.
I don't.
They have the same right to dislike our culture. And we are both reacting by slapping each other around.
But the difference is that we are not forcing anyone to watch our TV shows and to watch our movies. All right,
we're not forcing our culture on the world.
I think people are choosing our culture.
I don't think you understand economic imperialism.
Yeah,
I don't think you understand Coca-Cola and satellite TV.
They don't have to drink Coca-Cola. They don't have to have satellite TV. It's their choice.
People are dying, so you can drink a Coca-Cola.
It's their choice
today.
The whole culture of the United States is to
Coca-Cola.
Push its goods, markets, and
of course it is, but every capitalist, everything, that is their goal. That's true of the Chinese, that's true of the Japanese, that's true of the French, the English, you name it.
And so you're surprised that people resist that?
They have every right to resist it, but not to kill 3,000 Americans. You don't want to buy Coca-Cola. Don't buy Coca-Cola. Drink your native tea, and that's fine with me.
Boy, we've gotten simplified over here. We need an intelligent caller to break in here.
Let's see if Jason can set me straight.
Yeah, give us some intelligent perspective here, Jason. We've lost it.
That's a pretty tall order coming from me.
We appreciate your humility.
But I will say this.
Can you get off your speakerphone, though? Are you on speakerphone?
No, yeah. I'm not on a speakerphone, actually.
Okay, go forward.
Okay, well, the first thing I think... great conversation, and let me just point this out, that you're right, 9/11 could not possibly be justified, horrible atrocity, but the thing to keep in mind is that the one really unique thing about 9/11 is the direction in which the guns were pointing, and if you keep that in mind, it's not to justify it, but it's to say that, hey, this happens, and we've always been the ones who have done it. Now, that said, I heard a discussion earlier with you guys about Hamid Karzai. Mm-hmm. And the discussion revolved around what Hamid Karzai does, whether he's corrupt or not. And
the is there any question about that?
His connections to the energy industry.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at who Hamid Karzai actually is. In 1998, the Clinton administration had Hamid Karzai negotiating with the Taliban to build a rather large infrastructure while Hamid Karzai was a senior vice president for the Unocal Corporation.
No.
And the point of this infrastructure was at the time, we were thinking that the Caspian Basin was going to provide an alternative to the Saudi oil field, specifically Ghawar, which is the world's largest oil field. And that obviously has not come to pass.
The pipeline. You're referring to the pipeline.
The pipeline.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about Hamid Karzai and whether he is corrupt or isn't corrupt, that's totally beside the point. The fact that we're not having the discussion that says this guy was the senior VP of Unocal until we installed him as the president of Kabul, I guess, really.
Mm-hmm.
Is not
yeah.
Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to the Afghans, they'll say, yeah, he's the mayor of Kabul, much as Ahmadinejad is the mayor of Tehran. Really keep that stuff in mind, that this guy isn't an oil guy.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that the United States has any interest in Afghanistan right now is that pipeline.
Good.
It's just that simple. I mean, we can go back and forth about the spreading of democracy, but if we even have that conversation about whether we want to stabilize the country, are you kidding? We could care less. We go around, and listen, I'm an American. We go around this world with the aforementioned economic imperialism, murdering and slaughtering mm-hmm. people at will.
You're right, and it will bankrupt us. I mean, and that is the real end result.
I think Jason
it
makes a really good point, particularly about the oil ties of Karzai. And it's something that's not talked about that often, and it should be. And one thing is that, Jason, I don't think any of us are questioning whether or not Karzai is corrupt. I think that's one thing all three of us hardly agree on. He is corrupt.
And what I pointed out, which really bothers me, we're saying to the Afghan people, hey, this is the man we support. That is an insult to any intelligent Afghan.
Well, Obama is backing away and has been backing away mm-hmm. ever since his presidency. The question is, Terry, given that he is corrupt and they had an election And, you know, he was corrupt in that election, but it doesn't look like Abdullah Abdullah won the election. So the problem is not Karzai so much as what is the alternative, and we don't have
one. What would happen?
I'd like to look back at the old kingdom, frankly. Yeah. What see if there's some grandson of the king hanging out.
There is, as a matter of fact. I think I'm relation in a long lost
But what would happen?
You want to be king of Afghanistan, Carl? I support that. I'll support you in your kingship.
Yeah. I mean, give me
a kickback later on the oil, all right?
You know, what would happen if he actually announced 8 o'clock tonight, you know, look, we are not going after the Taliban. If we actually said that, we're not going after the Taliban, and if you're not literally harboring the Al-Qaeda, we're not going to go after you. We want to see a better relationship with you. We don't like some of the things you're doing, but we're not going after you. If we actually said to the Pashtuns, we're not going after you, and we're not going to do that. We're not going after the Pakistanis. We're not going to do that. If you harbor Al-Qaeda, we are going to go after Al-Qaeda specifically. And we will tell you ahead of time. If we have to drop a bomb to get Al-Qaeda, we will do that. But specifically make it. That is our only focus. We are not trying to change your whole culture.
I'm okay with that.
We're not trying to change your whole world. We're not trying to impose our vision of democracy.
Absolutely. I agree with
you. Al-Qaeda is the enemy. Let's go to our next caller and see what they say. Green, talk to us.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi, Green.
You know, I listen to you guys every week.
Thank you.
And I can't remember any time that I thought that we're uninformed
on a subject.
Really? Yeah, but until now.
Until now.
Yeah, here it comes.
Okay, Green, go ahead.
Until now.
Well, this is why we need to hear from you now.
Go ahead, Green.
You know, I hear you talking about how the United States had a reason to go to war against the Taliban. And like Jason just said, the whole purpose of removing the Taliban wasn't about burqas. Mm-hmm. It was about pipeline.
Yep.
The Taliban... I believe, if I remember correctly, had agreed to allow the U.S. to build a pipeline, and then they changed their minds. And they had to be removed. And the another thing about the Taliban, you know, people forget that they had stopped the growing of poppy, which meant that there was a shortage of heroin on the streets of the United States. As soon as the United States came in and disrupted what the Taliban were doing, it had increased increased the price of heroin. And heroin wasn't being used that much in the United States because it was so high. And as soon as the United States disrupted the Taliban and what they were doing, the price of heroin dropped because there was a glut of it in the United States. And then you talk about the burqas. If you remember what was going on in Afghanistan before the Taliban took over, it wasn't a safe place at all for women.
No.
Women could barely go out of their houses without being raped. Mm-hmm. So the things the Taliban did was create some kind of order in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as...
kind of order.
You know, I don't think we disagree with you,
Green.
You yourselves said before, the United States, you know, has no right to go into a country and tell people how to run their internal affairs.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not, you know, a threat to the United States, let them work the problems out.
But the thing is, Green, you know, whatever you think about the pipeline, and I mean, I have no doubt that there are people in the Bush administration, I'm sure Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, oil executives all, were very happy to go in Afghanistan and try to make oil deals. I don't dispute that at all. But the reason why the United States Congress, 434-1, Barbara Lee voted against, 434 voted for, including a lot of liberals and Congressional Black Caucus and John Conyers, a lot of people we like, and the reason why 100 senators voted for that war is because of the attack on September 11th. So while I don't dispute any Green saying about the pipeline, I know, I'm sure that was in the minds of some Bush administration executives. If we had not been attacked, I think it's fair to say there would not be a war in Afghanistan.
And it's also fair to say, you know, as Green has pointed out and other callers have pointed out, and as we've discussed to some degree, and yes, there are some issues we haven't raised until we've got a caller about it, we're aware of those issues. There are a million different reasons why we are caught in this situation. And in my opinion, and this is what I feel and stated from the beginning, we're just simply not using our imagination to do anything different in dealing with the problems. We do have to change our drug policy. We do have to change our energy policy. We do have to change the fact that Congress is a weak, disembodied organization that doesn't even understand its constitutional rights anymore. All of these things
could be addressed as opposed to simply falling back on the one solution that plays well with the media and plays well with the public. Let's send in some more soldiers and beat the hell out of them. That's the typical American response, and it's not going to work in this situation.
Well, let me throw in one thing that I am the one who here, out of this group, who said I was not in favor of attacking Afghanistan as we did. I felt that we should use CIA money and black ops. However, in the interest of diversity, I think the color of the ops should have been optional. But That being said, we should have used some colored ops.
Okay,
ops,
okay, we are ready.
Garland makes a joke, and one of the three of us think it's funny. Guess who that was?
Well, it's good to have a joke, actually. It's been a while since we had
one. That's true. Let's get to
our
last
caller.
We've got one
more caller here. We're sorry we didn't get to all of you. I mean, it's obviously a very intense topic, and it'll continue over the days. There's no question about it. Dave, you're on. Give us your quick solution to all of these problems.
Well, I just wanted to say one thing.
Okay.
Actually, two things. First and foremost, I think it's a bad idea to legalize drugs. If you legalize drugs, you're going to lose a generation of young people. The Chinese went to sleep for 100 years behind the opium wars, and that's real bad.
I kind of agree with you there.
Well, I would legalize marijuana only.
The second thing I wanted to say
was,
as Americans are too cavalier about going to war. I find that people who are ready to go to war have never been to war.
Hear,
hear. And you notice how it's every other generation that goes to war, because the generation that goes to war, the last thing on this earth that they want to do is go to war.
Yep.
And when you look at it this way, you think that if someone were to come to these shores here, they would have 300 million plus insurgents, well-armed, that they would have to fight.
And
we need to be a little more considerate about other nations when we talk about going to war.
Amen.
With
you,
Dave. Very well
Dave.
Said.
Which is why, at the end of the day, the question will be what the people of Afghanistan want. That was the same question in Vietnam. It was the question in Iraq. At the end of the day, it is a hearts and minds issue. It's same is true with Pakistan. We have to persuade people that Al-Qaeda is not their way out, and I don't know that military is the way to do it.
And Americans,
I don't think so either. As somebody, as I.F. Stone said during the height of the Vietnamese War, no matter what you do, not enough Asians are going, this is about Vietnam, not enough Asians are going to fight Asians for us, even as the price is right. And not enough Afghanis are going to fight Afghanis no matter what the price is. This is the wrong approach. It is simply the wrong approach. It may be necessary for a short time, but it is the wrong approach because it doesn't address the core issues that are at stake here,
and I don't
including our own safety, frankly.
I don't think we can fix the core issues. I think it's recognized. And I think, in my opinion, what we're going to be looking at is a strategy to get out. And remember something Obama said, we shouldn't leave as recklessly as we went in.
I think we should turn our focus to Pakistan.
Am I not mistaken, gentlemen, but isn't an election coming up in 2012? And so we're going
to
come out.
We will not be out by 2012. You're going to be buying dinner for both Terry and us.
You
are going to lose that bet.
And Sarah Palin's going to be president, and then we all
Move to Canada.
We're out of town. There's no question about it. Hey, it has been a pleasure, gentlemen, working with you again here trying to solve these issues. It has been a pleasure talking to all of you listeners for all of your good ideas calling in. We do appreciate it.
And let's thank Ben Shillibo one
more
time.
And we
got to
thank Ben Shillibo one more time. We really do. And we appreciate also, of course, our engineers, Cassandra Giddings and Jasmine Blackman and T. Sturdivant. Without them and without their dancing in the studio, I mean, it would be nothing.
And
give
my Facebook page. Garland Nixon, GARLANDNIXON. Facebook me, man.
You can Facebook me too, MARKLEVINE, or check out my website. I was just on Russian TV, by the way, and I'm going to be on Russian TV tomorrow talking about Afghanistan. It'll all be on my website, which you can find at marklevineradio.com.
This is really getting scary. Also, our next show, of course, is the Jazz Collection, and it might be a lot better to listen to the Jazz Collection tonight with Brother Ah. Read about the speech tomorrow. You'll get a better understanding of it anyway. This is Terry D. Kester. Check out my class that I'm offering at Fairfax County Public Education Community education, adult education. Fairfax County, the class is called Beyond Conventional Wisdom. Take it and we will discover more things. You can reach all of us at our new Facebook. We have our Facebook site up.
WPFW Dialogue.
Is that what it is? WPFW_Dialogue.
No, WPFW Dialogue.
WPFW space Dialogue.
That's us. Okay. This has been the Raucous Caucus. We're saying goodnight.
See you next week.